1 Kings 18, and I want to begin reading at verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again," 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word is my prayer. Father, keep us in truth, guide us in understanding, open our minds and our hearts with joy to your mercy. Help us for Christ's sake, I pray. And amen. We have looked at what had gone on in the previous portions of chapter 17 and earlier in chapter 18. We've seen that Elijah went before Ahab and told him that until he came and spoke again, there wasn't going to be rain or dew in the land. And this was not just to be cantankerous and be combative. It was because of the idolatry in which Ahab and his wife Jezebel had turned the land of Israel, the people of Israel, the people of God, to the worship of Baal. And as God had sent Elijah to him, he gave him it wasn't a warning, it was a proclamation. This is going to happen. It began to happen, and as it happened, as it unfolded, we've seen that God protected Elijah, even in the face of Ahab's all-out attempt to find him. Ahab, we might use a modern police terminology, Ahab put out an all-points bulletin. He sent word all over the land trying to find, and he was unable to find him. First, God had him by the brook Cherith and protected him and fed him with the ravens. Then God sent him to a poor widow in the very home area of Jezebel. And yet God preserved him through all of Ahab's attempts. And we saw that God sent Elijah again to Ahab and told him that he went to Obadiah and told him to tell Ahab that Elijah was there to meet him. And he issued a challenge. "You tell all of the prophets of Baal, all the prophets of the grove, you tell them to meet me on top of Mount Carmel." And they gathered there at the appointed time. And at Elijah's instruction, God answered Elijah's prayer to prove that he was the Lord God. We looked at that very dramatic outpouring and very dramatic occurrence that the prophets of Baal jumped around and danced around and cut themselves and called upon their God much of the day, and there was no answer. Elijah rebuilt the altar, took 12 stones, built an altar, laid the wood on top of it, put the bullock on top of that, then poured 12 barrels of water. Elijah prayed one time, and God answered his prayer. God sent fire from heaven to demonstrate that he was God and to convert the mind and heart of the people. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When that repentant statement was made, Elijah told them to take all of those false prophets, and they carried them to one particular brook, one particular place, and slew all of them. 450 false prophets. Where we've read tonight picks up from that point. And I want to ask you, as we look at this passage this evening, that we read and look at it in light of a New Testament statement that's made about this event. If you turn in the book of James for a moment, please, and I want you to look with me at James chapter 5 and verse 17. James chapter 5, and look at verse 17. James is talking to people who were spread about, who had been spread because of persecution in the church. These were Jewish, primarily Jewish believers that had been spread about from Jerusalem because of the persecution that had been raised against them. And James reminds them in terms of their praying. I want you to notice that he says, Elias, and that's the Greek pronunciation of the name Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah was a man very much in his humanity like we are in our humanity. He had the same feelings. He was a man who could be bold, but he was a man who could be fearful and doubtful. He was a man of like passions like we are. And he prayed. And notice he didn't say, but he prayed. He said, and he prayed. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Now I want you to notice, when he walked up to Ahab and said, it's not going to rain till my word, he wasn't doing so out of brazenness in himself. He had been a man who had earnestly prayed up until that point. Then it says, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want you to see, beloved, that James, under the inspiration of God, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for our instruction. Elijah prayed earnestly. Now, when he went before Ahab, we're not told that he said, now listen, Ahab, I've been praying about this thing and I'm trying to get it not to rain. He went in and he said, it's not going to rain. But I want you to notice that he prayed earnestly. And then we're told that he prayed again. Now I will say to you that that second prayer was not just the second time that he prayed. He prayed about this same matter again. But if we read the passages we've read, we see that he prayed at the widow's house. He prayed for her son to be raised from the dead. He was a constant man of prayer. But he prayed fervently. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And he trusted God, that God is the one that withheld the water. Elijah made the proclamation, but God's the one that withheld the water. And Elijah trusted that God was going to do what God led him to declare after his prayer. We see the earnestness of his praying, and we see that in this second part of the story. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Following the death and the destruction of the prophets of Baal, and I would say to you that lest people begin to say, oh, that was unfair to them, that was they didn't have a second chance, this, that, and the other. I remind you that the law of God, and this was the people of Israel to whom the law of Moses had been given, the law of God makes a very clear and pointed statement that if an individual be proven to be a false prophet, or a prophet of a false god, that they are to be put to death publicly in the sight of all of the people in order that sin be removed and not be spread among God's people. So this was not a matter of Elijah proving, well, I'm stronger than you are. This was a matter of Elijah proving God's identity and calling upon the people to put away the very thing that God said they were to put away. And when Elijah had slain those men, he turns to Ahab and he said, all right, Ahab, eat and drink. Why would he make that statement? There's a sound of abundance of rain. Ahab had been looking all over the country to try to get enough grass to feed the livestock. They were in a famine. It hadn't rained in more than 3 years. And in that famine, everybody cuts back. You don't waste food. You don't eat as much. You ain't had as much. But this statement to Ahab is a promise from God. Rain is coming. You go, there's going to be enough to bring about the renewal in the land. There's going to be a refreshing. There's going to be a production. There's going to be that which you can eat in the future. You eat now in anticipation of what God is about to do. Repentance brings the sound of abundance of God's blessings. Now let me tell you, at that point there was no sound audibly of rain. I know that at that point the prophet's helper went to look and there was no indication of rain whatsoever. So the sound that was there was not thunder, it was not hard winds, it was not rain beating upon a building or something. The sound was the joyful announcement from God that God was about to send rain. The sound of abundance. The sound of abundance, folks, is the voice of God's promise of His blessing upon a repentant people. Well, the repentance was not everybody in the land. Jezebel didn't repent. No. But those that stood there repented in the acknowledgement that God, the Lord, was God. And in His recognition, God answered their action. There was a sound of joy. Folks, I'm going to tell you. There is a statement in the book of Psalms that says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. You see, the sound of God's mercy, the promise of God's mercy, brings an abundant promise. God is plenteous in mercy. His mercy, when He opens His hand upon a repentant people, His mercy is sufficient for everything they need. There is an abundance of mercy. At that time, it was going to be shown in rain. Even though yet the first cloud was not seen, yet the first thunderclap had not opened, yet the first wind had not blown, but there was a sound of God's promise. I'll tell you tonight, folks, that's the joyous sound in the promise of forgiveness and the promise of mercy, is that in Jesus Christ, God's forgiveness is upon His people because Jesus, we sing the hymn, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. But he washed white as snow. I'll tell you, folks, that's a joyous sound. Okay, Ahab, start eating. Rain's coming. He goes up to the top of Mount Carmel. He had been down where this brook, they had gone down from the top down to where he had told them to bring those prophets, where those prophets were put to death. And now he goes back up to the top of the mountain. Now I want you to notice the earnestness and the fervency of Elijah's prayer. He was a man of like passions that we are. That gives an encouragement, but it ought to also give an example to us. Here was a man who was in the victory of the moment. God had just used that man to publicly demonstrate the defeat of all that Ahab had turned himself to. Here was the man who prayed one time audibly in the presence of all of the people that were gathered at the top of the mountain. He asked God one time to hear his prayer, and God sent down the fire to consume the offer. Here was a man at the height of victory. And yet, well, how did he pray? He went up to the top of the mountain and he cast himself on the ground and he sat with his head between his knees. He sat bowed before God. He was the winner. But there was no pride. There was no boastfulness. There was an humble and a contrite spirit. You see, folks, that's the way we ought to pray. Even in the brightest moments of our lives, even in what seem to be the most exciting times of our life, our prayers are not boastful before God. Well, God, you ought to do this because I did so and so. Now, here was a man who in the height of his moment cast himself on the ground. He didn't gently sit down. He fell down before God and he bent his head between his knees and he prayed. I want you to notice that prayer in light of four scriptures very quickly in the book of Psalms and Isaiah. Two in Psalms and two in Isaiah. Look in Psalm 34. Verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. An humble heart. Elijah had watched God's victory, but Elijah had watched for all these years before this the sinfulness of the people. Elijah's heart was broken because of sin against God. He had witnessed God's power. The people had witnessed God's power. But the sin, the stain of sin was still upon the land. And he bowed with a broken heart. Jeremiah prayed. Nehemiah prayed. Both of them. With a recognition that the people's sin was their sin, and they were humbled before God. You see, God hears those that are of a broken heart, an humbled heart, and a contrite spirit. Look over in Psalm 51, just a few psalms further over. Look in Psalm 51, verses 15, 16, and 17. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God, sacrifices of God, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. When he prayed fervently, when he prayed earnestly, when his prayer is an example to us as a prayer of a broken and a contrite spirit. Look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, verse 15, and hear the words of the Lord. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humbled spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I dwell in the highest place, and yet I am also with the heart of an humble and contrite spirit. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You see, brothers and sisters, there are two statements in Psalm that speak of from the point of view of someone who has understood what God says. But those two statements in Isaiah are directly from God. I dwell with. Here was Elijah, the one who had obviously been heard in his prayer by God. And yet here was Elijah who approached God with an humble and a contrite spirit. Now, I want you to notice too that the fervency of his prayer was that he continued to pray. He didn't pray, Lord, send down fire. And he, yeah, you know what the rest of it is. He went and bowed himself in prayer, and he said to his servant that was there with him, you go up to the top of the mountain, or you go to this place, and you look toward the sea. Comes back, and, well, bright sunshine. Nothing out there. Go back again. Still nothing there. Go back the third time. Nothing there. Go back the fourth. You mean you what? I got to walk up there again? Go back the fourth time. Go back the fifth time. Go back the sixth time. All of this time, Elijah's sitting there with his head bent over between his knees and on the hard ground. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy and soft in our service of the Lord. But what he calls upon us to do is to be faithful. Six times he's sitting there praying. The seventh time, there is a difference. The servant comes back and said, coming up out of the sea is a cloud as a man's hand. There's the sound of abundance of rain somewhere. You see, Elijah prayed fervently, and it rained. I want to tell you, folks, our praying for rain in our needs ought to be just as fervent. Sometimes I think we say, well, I hope it rains today. And what we're saying is, I'd like to see it, but I really don't think it's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, this man made seven trips to the point that Elijah told him to go to. And the seventh time, he saw what was coming. You see, folks, God doesn't promise us that it's going to happen on our time schedule. And the fervency of our prayers is in our trust that God will do what he said he was going to do on his own time schedule. He sent the man up to look into the sea. We heard Sister Elizabeth share with us this morning a message and song from the 121st Psalm. I want you to turn with me to that psalm tonight, and I want you to see his going up to the top of the mountain and looking to the sea. Where Mount Carmel was, I'm going to do a little geographical picturing here. Where Mount Carmel was, it was in the land of Canaan, but it was to the east of the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. To go up and look to the sea was to go and to turn and look to the west. Think about it for a moment, folks. Isn't it true that the normal pattern Now, we're having some situations now. There are times when rain comes from the east, but the normal routine of things is that it moves from west to east. He was going to look to the source. He was looking to where rain would come from. He was looking to the sea. He was looking to the west. I'm going to tell you, folks, that it's a picture to us that when we go in the fervency of our prayer, we look to the place from which we expect the blessing to come, and that place is from the hand of God Almighty and Him alone. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Elijah sent his servant, go look to God. Go look from where God has promised things to come. Go look from the way it normally would come. And he went to look to the west. I'll tell you, folks, that our help comes from the hand of God. Sometimes God gives us good things. Sometimes God gives us hard things. If you go over into the book of Job for a moment in the second chapter, Job's wife told him, he said, why don't you curse God and die? Job chapter 2, verse 10. He said to her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Evil is not a matter of wickedness. Evil is not a matter of sin. The word translates to mean harsh. Hard. Even chastisement. You see, whether it's good or whether it's difficult, things come to us from the hand of God. Where are we going to look for help? We're going to look to, are we going to look to the weatherman on television? Or are we going to look to God? Are we going to look to some irrigation system? Or are we going to look to God? I'll tell you, folks, here was a man who seven times demonstrated the fervency of his prayer. The last time he came back, and the man said there was a small cloud, like a man's hand, coming up out of the sea. And Elijah said, you go tell Ahab to get on his horse and get moving. Don't let the rain stop you. It's coming. Cloud, the sky blackened, and the rain began, a great rain. From a cloud as a man's hand. It came from the hand of God. It came as a little beginning, but it became sufficient, an abundance of rain. You see, folks, the cloud started in a little way. God's blessings open to us in little ways. But they're always proved to be sufficient for what we need. May the fervency of our prayer be in looking to the hand of an all-sufficient God, trusting. He trusted as much that it was going to rain as he trusted that God was not going to let it rain after he told Ahab it wouldn't. How fervent, how earnest is our praying? Do we take the time to sit down on the ground if need be and to bow our head between our knees? I think about Elijah with his head bent over between his knees, and I don't think I can bend that far. Does that mean I can't pray like that? No, I can pray just as earnestly. But I can pray with an humbled and a contrite spirit, with a heart that's bowed before God. And I want you to notice, in closing tonight, I want you to notice what happened. It started raining, a great rain. God answered the prayer. There was the sound of abundance of rain. The sound was the joyous announcement. God's going to send it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a joyous announcement today. God's going to send His gracious mercy upon an humble and a contrite people. It's there. It will come. And it started. And Ahab was headed back to the city of Jezreel. He was in a chariot. And the hand of God, listen to the last verse, verse 46. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. His power was on Elijah. Elijah girded up his loins. He pulled up his jacket. He put his belt around. He pulled up his cloak where he could run. And he ran before Ahab. He outran the horse because Ahab was going to the city where Jezebel was and was going to tell Jezebel what had happened. And he got there. Folks, I don't know whether I'll ever outrun a horse. Sometimes I can't run or don't feel that I can run at all. But in our fervent and earnest service of the Lord, His hand is upon us to enable us to do what we need to do in His service. The promise that God gives us in Jesus Christ is that there's a sound of an abundant mercy from a loving, forgiving God. He calls upon us to repent. He calls upon us to separate ourselves. He calls upon us to pray. It's thundering outside now. I don't know where the cloud is. I don't know where the weatherman says it's going to move. But I'll say this. I'm praying God's going to send the cloud as a man's hand tonight, that He will open upon our land, upon the farmers, upon the yards, upon all that's around about us. But He still calls upon us to be earnest and fervent in our prayer. May we bow ourselves before the Lord and listen for the sound of abundance of rain in God's promise. Lord, help us, is my prayer.